Our scripture is John 6, 22 through 40. And this is where Jesus declares that He is the bread of life. This is one of the many I am statements in the Word of God found in His holy Word. It reads, and I'm in the New Living Translation, so it reads like this. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread, and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw neither Jesus nor the disciples were there, they got into the boats and they went across to Capernaum to look for Him. They found Him on the other side of the lake and asked Him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs I showed you. But don't be so concerned about the perishable things like food," He said. "Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of His approval." They replied, "We want to perform God's work too. What should we do?" they asked Him. Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the One who has sent." They answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you." "What can you do?" they asked Jesus. "After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now He offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the One who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. This is the infallible Word of God. Thanks be to God." I am sure in the last 18 hours, you have asked yourselves, "How did we get here? What in the world is happening around us? Can we not simply find common ground and grace anymore?" I know I've been thinking about that since the happenings of yesterday, and I'm sure you have as well. My dad used to say to me all the time, when I'd ask him a question that he couldn't answer, he would say, "Son, I don't have the answer for you. I wished I did, but keep the faith." This morning, I feel almost the same way with my dad. What I share with you this morning is, I don't know if I can help you with the last 18 hours of what's happened in the world as your shepherd. But what I'm going to ask you to do is keep the faith and focus on the things that are important. Last night, Cindy and I shared a wonderful meal with some friends as we arrived to our dinner location and greeted them. They said to us, "Have you heard?" We said, "Heard what?" They shared with us the tragic events that had literally just happened moments ago in Pennsylvania. The next comment was, "I hope this doesn't dominate this evening's conversation." Now, they didn't mean that in a bad way, as to say this wasn't important, but what we had gathered for was to talk about family, God, faith, church, children, and our future. The things that are important to us. What is holds dear to us. And our future together as brothers and sisters in Christ. My point to this, to tell you the story that even in the midst of chaos, we focused on God, family, and faith. We did talk about Pennsylvania, absolutely, which certainly came up in our conversation. But one of the things I assure you of is it did not dominate. Even as horrific as it was, it did not dominate the conversation between brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me share with you what dominated that conversation. God dominated. Family dominated. Faith dominated. Children dominated. And friendship dominated. What a blessing. To them, I say thank you from the bottom of my heart. We are overjoyed to share friendship with you. I have to laugh because I said to them sometime in our conversation throughout the night that there are many times that I preach on a simple conversation that I share with a friend or someone in passing. To them, when you hear this portion of the sermon, you will know who you are. And so welcome to the club. You actually made a sermon. You made the body of this sermon. Our conversation was so rich that I've only spent half the night rewriting what I was going to say to you today, given the events of yesterday. The only thing that didn't change today was this title and the scripture. And the reason it didn't change is because Jesus and the foundation of His love for us never changes, regardless of the chaos in the world. Jesus is the bread of life, and He is the one true nourishment that you and I need. The title of your message this morning is Nourishment for Your Journey. Well, friends, make no mistake, we are on a new journey 18 hours ago. Yet another historical event in America that may change the tide one way or the other. So buckle down, get ready, and here we go. The journey is before us. In Scripture this morning, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 after leaving and traveling across the Sea of Galilee to the rest. To rest, the crowds actually followed Him. And if you remember the miracle of the 5,000, it was 5,000 plus people on just a few pieces of fish and a few loaves of bread. They were enamored and mesmerized by what the miracles that they saw, but what they truly followed Him for wasn't because they had witnessed that. It was because they wanted Him to feed them. I cannot speak for Jesus here, but I'm going to try just quickly to share what I believe He would be thinking. I don't think our Lord and Savior was upset at all that they followed Him. In fact, I think He was appreciative of it. But He was upset because of why they followed Him. And that's why He responded in the manner in which He did. You see, Jesus then and now, then in those times and now, this day, knows what we do and why we do it. Jesus desires us to follow Him for all the right reasons. And this crowd in Scripture didn't. But those two couples sitting at that table last night did. And that's what I want to convey to all of you. This crowd followed Jesus for the material things, not the spiritual things. They believed Jesus was going to be their bread maker. He was actually going to be a meal ticket for them. They wouldn't have to worry about where their next meal come from because He was going to miraculously provide it. Make no mistake, Jesus wanted, and in fact He did take care of their physical needs, but He wanted something more. He wanted a spiritual relationship with them. And He counseled them, not because they came, but why they came. Today, friends, I want you to recognize the importance of this table before you. And what a beautiful table it is. It represents a loving God who provides both substance for your body, your nourishment, and your spirit. As Christians, we need to always seek the spiritual and not the material. Friends, the uncertainty and the evil in this world will shake your foundations. And the material world will let you down. Make no mistake. But God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit that you have been endowed with will never, ever fail you. In Scripture this morning, we see where Jesus was asked, "What must we do to be doing the work of God?" Jesus simply answered, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom has sent me." Friends, you today, this morning, even in the chaos of the world, are present in God's house. You're in worship together, enjoying music, and enjoying the Word. You are working for God. It's that simple. This is the work of God, that you and I believe in Him and also in the Father who has sent Him. This is purely spiritual and should always be our go-to, even in the moments of uncertainty, anxiety, anger, jealousy, all the bad things that the devil tries to throw our way. Our spiritual life should be what we seek first. No matter the chaos in the world, seek God first. Serve Christ always. And when the evening concludes, much like last night, and the sun sets, Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, family, faith, children, love, respect, and friendship dominate the day, no matter what the world brings you. In your faith, you will be victorious, regardless of how chaotic things seem to be. There's a story I want to share with you. Children that were left abandoned, really, after World War II. There were so many of them, they built these camps and orphanages, and again, they had been tattered by the wages of war. And when they brought them into these care centers, the children couldn't sleep. They gave them nourishment, they fed them, they did all the great things, they bathed them, they took care of them, but they couldn't sleep. They could not find peace. So they brought a team of psychologists and doctors in to evaluate them. And when they got done with that evaluation, the Cliff Note version of the story is they diagnosed them to have anxiety to a point where they could not sleep and bear to close their eyes. So the psychologist said, and the doctors gave them a treatment. The treatment is so simple, they were astonished. And they almost laughed it off. But the psychologist said, when they go to bed tonight, give them a piece of bread. And amazingly, they slept through the night. You see, what they needed was the assurance of a better tomorrow. What they needed was the assurance of a safer tomorrow. What they needed was the assurance that they would be fed and nourished. And today we're much the same, aren't we? Today we need to know that we're going to be fed and nourished and we're going to be safe. Well, friends, I declare to you that my Lord and Savior and your Lord and Savior is in the battleground with you this morning. And because He is here, when you awake, tomorrow and the next day. The bread of life will nourish you in that journey, as it will nourish you today as we partake in the table. I leave you with this thought. Bread is made by planting seeds. The wheat and the grain are then harvested. They're then ground into flour. We add some water. We make a dough and a yeast. It rises, and then we put it in extreme heat, and it becomes bread. Now, if you gave it to my mom, it's going to become burnt biscuits. But the tops were still good. You just had to toss the bottoms. But either way, regardless of where it is in the world, it will become bread. Any way you make it, any way you cut it, any way you mix it, it's bread. Let me share another example of the bread you need. Long ago, there was a young baby conceived in a womb in a virgin named Mary. He was born. He grew up sinless. And in the prime of his life, when he was ripe and he was sharing the ministry of the good news of the Father, he was harvested. He was cut down. He was tossed around and he was tortured. And he too was put in a fiery furnace. We like to call it the cross. And in that furnace, he went to his death. But the miracle is, even through all of that horrific and chaotic situation, much kind of like yesterday, in all that bad came a risen Lord who is the bread of life, who rose again to save you and me. And today you have your salvation because the bread of life is nourishing you continuously. Friends, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the nourishment you will need for your journey. Don't mistake why you follow me. Don't mistake that. Come for the miraculous power of my saving grace." In fact, he says, "Come to the table." Amen.